it's unique to the Jewish people to have a prayer the subject of which is acceptance of our prayer. In most instances, people speak to their deity and address their gods and worship, and as they worship, express their desires, their expectations, they express their allegiances. But here we have a unique situation in which we have a separate blessing. And thank God, while at the same time we ask God to hear our prayers. A separate unit of our Shemoneh Esrei is dedicated to the idea of the Kabbalas HaTfilah, the receipt of our davening. And because of the fact that our davenings, in a certain way, a fill-in for Karbanos, we understand that there's going to be a separate expression of our desire to serve Hashem with Karbanos again, and that He accept what we now offer in verbal service as a replacement for the Karban. So there's going to be another bracha, the next bracha of Retzei Hashem Elokeinu B'Amcha Yisrael U'B'Sfilasam V'Hashev Es Ha'avodah L'Dvir Beisach. So in that blessing, we're looking to say to God, restore the Karbanos, and until we can bring Karbanos, while we yet do not have the ability to bring Karbanos, accept these prayers in their stead. Separate and apart from that, we have this bracha, which is a request for all tefillos. Those that are connected to Karbanos, those that are not connected to Karbanos, these words as we've said them, Shema Koleinu, hear our voices. It's interesting that the truth is that Koleinu is not voices, but our voice. Which means that the Jewish people are coming together and saying, hear our voice, HaKol Kol Yaakov. Because since we have such beautiful voices, meaning that we have such heartfelt feelings about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're so devoted to you, so you should please hear our voice. So let's focus on the fact that it says Kol and not Dibur. It doesn't talk about hear our words. It doesn't say Shema Tfilaseinu right away. Later it does. But first it says Koleinu. And a Kol is very nondescript. One person's voice is different from the others. But there are no individual words about which we speak. So that Koleinu means the sound of the Jewish people. The sound that resonates from all of us together, which is a sound of devotion to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about Kavano. Shema Koleinu is about Kavano. It's about the intimations of the heart, not so much about the specific content of words, necessarily. That's number one. There's another point to be made, and it's secondary, but it's important. Sometimes our words don't have so much kavana. Sometimes our words are lacking the intentions of the heart, which we should have, but we're not necessarily able to concentrate and be so perfect in our understanding of what we're saying and in how what we're saying as it relates to our real lives and as we try to express this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It would take a tremendous amount of work and concentration and time. So sometimes we daven a bit by rote and maybe we didn't have all the kavanah we should have. So we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shema Koleinu, hear our voices. Hear our voice even if it's not necessarily the case that our hearts were fully engaged. So on the one hand, Shema Kaleinu is the expression we use because we're talking about Kavano. On the other hand, since it says voice, that means we made sounds. But the sounds were not necessarily as full of meaning as they should have been. Hear and accept our offering of the voice, nevertheless. Hashem Elokeinu. Chus v'rachem aleinu. Now, chus means to recognize that we are so small and that we are not able ourselves to accomplish all the things we wish to accomplish. Chus means to have a certain level of pity. And pity always means something that's related to the weak, those who are not fully capable themselves, who have to be pitied. And man humbly comes before God and says, look how much we need. We've asked for so many things. We've asked for das, and we've asked for the help and acceptance in tshuva, and for slicha, and we've asked for geula, refuah. We've asked for parnasa. There are so many things that we need. There's so much that we are dependent upon. There's so much that without you, it's impossible for us to move forward. So please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chus, show pity, because with that pity, we might be able to receive from you, even though we don't deserve what we wish and hope to receive from you. Because when you pity someone, you don't necessarily judge them so strictly and only give them what they deserve. When you have pity, there's a certain largesse and there's a certain forthcoming because you have pity. Virachem, have compassion. We ask HaKadosh Baruch to be compassionate. It's an interesting word, rachem. It relates to the word rechem. The rechem is, of course, the womb, the source of all life. And when we ask for someone to help and for someone to heal, you ask always with reference to the rechem. For instance, when a person says a mishaberach, the mishaberach is the person's name, ben or bas, the mother. Because for a chola, for someone who's not well, we make a mishaberach for a chola, it's for someone who's not well, we go by the mother, because the mother was the source of life. And the mother's rechem gave life to this individual. And we say, like the rechem gave life, we ask Hashem to be Mirachem, to give life again, to extend more life and more health. So here too, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Avinu of Harachaman, he is the source of all life. He is the source of all good. So we turn as we would in the case of someone who's not well, and we would say, about the mother, so-and-so, Ploni, Ben, or Bas, the mother, because the mother is the source of the rechem, the rachmanus for this person, relates to the person's mother. Here we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the source of all life, similarly to be merachem, because we are His. He created us. He gave us life. So there are those who, of course, in different nuschos, say, Avarachman Shema Kaleinu, in Nusach Sfar. They start with mentioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Father. Because when you have given birth to a child, then you say, Avarachman, you're the one who clearly has mercy on your own progeny, on your own children. Chus v'rachem aleinu. V'kabel v'rachamim uv'ratzon es tfilaseinu. And accept with compassion uveratzon, and with finding favor in us, as tefilaseinu. Now, the ratzon means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will acknowledge in a certain sense and be pleased with the fact that we have davened. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to answer in the affirmative. A great part of what this is all about, a great part of Shema Kaleinu, is not saying, now we've asked for A, B, C, and D, please say yes and provide us with A, B, C, and D. That's not exactly what Shema Kaleinu is all about. Rather, Shema Kaleinu is about saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have offered a service to you, like one would bring a karbon. Please accept it. That doesn't mean you're going to do what we want. Sometimes the answer is not yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes when the answer is no, that is better for us. We just don't understand why. So we're not just asking here for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say yes to all of the requests we've made in that section of Shmona Esra known as Bakasha. But we are saying to please find favor, ratzon, in the fact that we have davened and that we are serving you. It should be pleasing to you, even if for whatever reason the answer is no. But just the fact that we have the privilege of offering something that you accept from us. You know, when a person needs a great favor, brings a gift, or otherwise makes some contribution, and the favor is not forthcoming, it's denied. But there still is appreciation for the fact that the person who needed the favor came, asked courteously for what they thought they might be able to be provided, showed respect to the authority, was seen and accepted, had an audience with the president, the king, the minister, the whatever. And it turns out to be a positive experience, even though in the most immediate sense, what they were asking for was denied. Sometimes, it's not about getting what you want, it's rather having the audience with and being in the presence of whoever could have said yes, could have provided, who appreciates being asked, who acknowledges that it's very noble of you to come and request from He, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the power who has the ability to provide or not. It's considered to be extremely proper for us to be davening to Hashem. And Hashem acknowledges it and says how wonderful it is that you have davened. How desirous I am of your davening. How appreciative I am of your coming close to me as you've asked me and discussed with me your needs, your feelings, your sensibilities. I so appreciate it. That's ratzon. Does that mean that God is going to say yes to everything we ask? Of course not. Because davening is not necessarily about asking so much as it is about coming before Him and having a relationship with Him. What we're asking for in Shema Kaleinu, therefore, is a relationship. Let it be that because we've come to You, our relationship should be deeper. Let it be that because we've come to You, our relationship should be more meaningful. That's Kabel Barachamim Uvaratzon Est Filasein. That's first of all. Kikel Shomea Tfilais Visachanunim Oto. Because You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are one who hears Tfilais, which are prayers, and Tachanunim, which are supplications. There's a certain aspect of Tachanunim, and we'll talk more as we talk about Tachanun at some point after we finish Shmoneh Esrei. Tachanunim are more severe or more urgent than tefillah. They're more urgent, and that's why when Chas V'Shalom, it's a time of difficulty in a particular family, they've lost a loved one, and we're davening in a base level, we don't say tachanunim. Because we know that that level of rachmanis isn't there, not at that place at that time for that family. On the other hand, if it's a day of joy, like Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, Yom Tov, we never say tachanunim. Because, again, they are so severe and urgent, almost to the point of being a source of sadness. If we are glad, because it's a day of gladness, and a day when we have been given so much, so then that sense of urgency means we're not pleading with such fervor and with such a sense of great need or else. There is no or else. It's a day of joy. So we leave out tachanunim. This expression, kikel shemea tfilos visachanunim oto, means that we know you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are going to be shemea tfilos, and tachanunim, which are added and sometimes are more severe. When Moshe Rabbeinu was begging to be able to come into Eretz Yisrael, the expression he used in the Torah is Voes Chanan El Hashem Eisahi. You're asking for something that's so difficult to achieve, and ultimately the answer to Moshe was no. You can't come into Eretz Yisrael. But when it's something that's so needed and so urgent, so then the expression of tefillah that's used is the expression of tachanunim. Kel shemea tefillos v'sachanunim oto, because you are the one who hears and who has a sense of connection to us when we daven and when we supplicate to you. Then we say, Umulfenecha malkeinu rekam al teshivenu. First, it's about the relationship. And because it's about the relationship, we said, Kabel barachamim uvaratzin est filisenu, accept our expression of prayer, expression of requests. Soon we're going to say thank you to Hashem. We're going to say modim for everything you do, whether you are going to grant that which we just asked for, whether you're not going to grant that which we just asked for, thank you. Please accept all of this. Please listen to it and accept it and respond to it by saying, I am pleased and I credit you for having davened. I'm pleased that you have davened to me, that you have turned with your trust and you've engaged with your heart and mind in a relationship with me. I appreciate that. That's what we're asking for when we say, Kabel barachamim uvaratzin est tfilosenu, kikel shemea tfilos v'sachanunim oto. Then we say, and as far as answering our prayers, and as far as doing all of that which we've asked for and which we are begging you to do, umilafanecha, and from before you. Now, milafanecha means once we're in your presence, once you've accepted our prayer, and once you have taken us into your chambers, if you will, once you have been willing to have an audience that includes us, if we're having an audience with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now, then, that we've accomplished at least being in your presence, we have had an audience with you, Milafanecha Malkeinu, our King, please, Rekam, completely empty-handed, that we should get nothing, Al Teshivenu. Don't turn us away with nothing. Now, does that mean again that we have to get the answer of yes? Not necessarily. It would be very nice. That doesn't mean that we're going to get a yes. But what we can get is something that is stored up for the future. Something that will eventually mean this prayer made a difference, and made a difference in this world. Not necessarily in the here and now, but made a difference. Because if a prayer is offered sincerely, if a prayer is offered from the right place, in the right heart of a right-hearted and a right-minded Jew, it's not ever a tefilas shav. It's never for naught. And we ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Reikam al tishivein. Does that mean that it's going to be exactly what we want? No. It might be that the prayer is answered in a different way at a different time. But it's not for naught. Avraham Avinu instituted, if you will, the davening of shacharis. And we learn this from the psukim that describe Avraham Avinu standing before God, begging for the sake of Sodom and Amorah. Were Sodom and Amorah saved? Not at all. Lot was. Were Avraham's prayers, he's urging God for the sake of Sodom and Amorah, was it for naught? No. There's a famous Rashi in Shir HaShirim, where Rashi says that the prayers of all of the Jews in the last years of Bayis Rishon, begging God that they should survive the siege of Jerusalem by Nebuzradan, the general of Nebuchadnezzar, the begging of God that the Jews begged so that we would survive and that the Malchus Beis David wouldn't fall and the Beis HaMikdash wouldn't be destroyed. All those prayers, where did they go? Where have all the prayers gone? So Rashi says that when 70 years later the Jewish people are granted the ability to rebuild and to once again establish the Malchus and establish the Beis HaMikdash and return to Eretz Yisrael, that's because there were those who urged and begged and pleaded. The tefillahs of the Jewish people were all, so to speak, stored up and answered in that time, many, many years later. The Almighty is not this mechanical give and take process. So therefore, when we say Umilfenachem Alkeinu Reikom Al Tishivenu, we mean don't turn us away empty-handed. But that doesn't mean we have to get something that we can tangibly appreciate or see now. But eventually, we know and we believe our prayer is going to make a difference. There's something that's good going to happen. Something wonderful is going to happen because of a heartfelt, true, good tefillah. I don't expect it or demand it to be something I personally receive now. Maybe it's my children, or children's children, or someone else. Maybe it's Klal Yisrael that will eventually benefit, because I, as a Jew, stand before you in earnest and serve you. It means something to you. That's accepting our prayers. Ki ata shemea tfilas amcha Yisrael berachamim, because you are Kadosh Baruch Hu, hear, and again, Shemaiah doesn't just mean to hear, it means to understand and to discern the deeper aspect of what it is that I'm saying and from whence it comes. Shemaiah doesn't just mean to hear something, it means to understand and to relate to it, to internalize something. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu internalizes a message coming from a human being, that means that that human being has joined with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Because you hear, meaning you understand and you identify with the tefillahs, the prayers of Am Yisrael, berachamim, with compassion. Baruch Atah Hashem, shomea tefillah. And that's how the bracha concludes. The next time we meet, we'll discuss what is included at times of ta'anis, on a fast day, at mincha we include here a bracha anenu, and we'll discuss that in Mirtz Hashem next week.